pick up where I left off last week, because this is real fitting right now. We were talking about the four operations of the word of the kingdom coming out of Mark 4. The Lord spoke in Luke 8, Mark 4, and Matthew 13, same parable, the parable of the sower, which the Father sowed the word. He sowed the word, and it spoke about the word going through temptation and trial and persecution and affliction and the cares of this life, deceitfulness of riches, lust of other things, everything the enemy could throw at it. But how it survived, and those that would bear 30, those who would bear 60, and those that bear 100-fold fruit in this life. And our compass, I don't know about you, but our compass is set on the 100-fold. And to have a 100-fold compass, you're going to have 100-fold wisdom. Amen. We got to get through the worst to get to the best. But it spoke about the four operations of the word. And the first operation is to hear the word of the kingdom. All three of the parables said that. And then he spoke about understanding the word of the kingdom. He that heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth the word, not with a natural intellect, but spiritual understanding. And then the third operation, especially the word of the kingdom, not just understand the word, but how the word of the kingdom works, how the kingdom works. Amen. And the third operation was receiving the word of the kingdom. He that heareth the word and receiveth it. The way God transfers anything is he always sends his word first. Before God sends a revival, he's going to send his word. Before he sends a well transference, he's going to send his word. Amen. Before the children of Israel ever left Egypt, he sent his word to Abraham and told him, your descendants will be 400 years, but I'm going to bring them out with a mighty arm. God always will send his word first. All of your promise, all of your destiny is encapsulated in that word. He compresses it. It's like in a hard drive. You know how you get a CD and you release that CD into the hard drive? See, everything about the kingdom gets compressed in that seed. Oh, the program is in that seed. That's why it's necessary to hear the word of the kingdom, understand it, but you've got to come to the place where we receive the word. And I'm talking about the word of impregnation, where God divinely impregnates your spirit with a promise that come from his word. How many of you are carrying something in here? God sent that word. He sent it out of the right hand of God. He sent your promise to you. He sent your destiny to you. And it come in the form of that word. It's why you got to carry it. And guess what the fourth one is? This is the one we're going to look at today. He that heareth the word of the kingdom and keepeth it. So if you would, go to Luke chapter 8. We'll pick up there. It's the keeping of that word. What you don't know, give me a show of hands if you're pregnant in here. You got some kind of promise inside you. Raise your hand. What you don't know, but the warfare on your life, it's not because the enemy hates you so much. It's that word you're carrying because it was sent out of heaven. It has your future in it. It has your destiny in it. Your promises is up in that word. Amen. And you're going to have to carry that word. Sometime you heard it, you understood it, and you received it because you showed hands. You know you're carrying something. God will call you to carry it. You got to carry it through the water. You got to carry it through the fire. You're going to carry it through deception, persecution, affliction, distraction, offense, trespass. You think those people didn't like you. Had nothing to do with you. The enemy came to sow that trespass, to stop that word from producing fruit in your life. He sows the affliction. He sows the persecution. He sows everything he can to stop and cut that word off, to cut that promise before the fruition stage. That's why you're going to have to get skilled at keeping it. If you received it, it was because you got close enough to God to receive something from his kingdom. When you ask God for something, listen to me, when you ask God for something, we always think we ask and it's going to show up out here. When you ask God, you're going to receive it in here first. That's his way. You're going to carry something inside you. You're going to carry it up in your spirit. You're going to carry it up in your heart. You're going to carry it until fruition comes. It's the keeping phase. What's so amazing about the keeping phase is God spoke to it from the Genesis to Revelation. You know, not everything passes from the old to the new. The law was buried in Christ. But this phase of keeping His word, you'll find it in Deuteronomy. You'll find it in Proverbs under Solomon's wisdom. You'll find it under the Lord's wisdom in the New Testament. Luke chapter 8, verse 15. But that on the good ground, everyone say, that's me. Which an honest and good heart, having heard the word, and keep it. What'd he say? If you abide in me, that's one phase, and my what? Words abide in you. Abide. They have to remain in you. They cannot be snatched or stolen. You cannot allow the enemy to snatch it. You will go through something if his word gets up inside you. You will go through something. You're going to go through pain. You're going to go through hurt. You're going to go through the mighty waters. You're going to go through the fire. What you want to know is not what you went through. It's what's still intact when you get on the other side. Every board of my house may have been pulled off. When I go to the Lord and I'm feeling down, 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 I say the one thing that's still there is your word. This promise is still here. As long as you don't have my promise, you don't have my future. If the enemy cannot take the promise and snatch it out of your spirit, then he cannot snatch your future. It doesn't matter what you're going through right now. It doesn't matter what things look like right now. It doesn't matter. Everyone say, it don't matter. It don't matter. As long as it's here, as long as you have that, you still have his promise. God can multiply you more in 1 year than it takes you 25 years. He can do more in 1 year in your life than all 25 years. As long as that word is still there, as long as you're keeping it, as long as you've got it, stay with that. Don't worry about what's going on out here. Stay with what's up inside you. Amen. You're going to have to keep it before it produces its fruit. You're going to have to be skilled at keeping it. It's going to be tried. The word of the Lord was tried. As long as you have that, as long as you're nurturing it, it doesn't matter what you've been through. It doesn't matter what's broken. Nothing matters. As long as that's intact, you're in good shape. Because that's the only thing that's going to produce your future. No flesh is going to glory in his presence. It's not by our might. It's not by our power. It's by his spirit. And the word of the Lord was be tried. Remember what he said to Joseph? And the time for his word came. Boy, you'll carry it and you'll think nothing's going to happen. The enemy, he'll play and replay and replay again one video after another. How you never going to make it. You're no good. You no good. Baby, you're no good. It doesn't matter as long as that's there. Your future is locked up into that seed. It's not locked up into your sufficiency. It's locked up into that eternal seed up inside you. And if you got it, then your future is intact. Because there's going to be a time like Joseph for your word's going to come. There's going to be a time it's not going to be just all forsakenness and desolation and rejection and reproach. There's going to be a time where your word's going to come and it's going to flourish. God's going to tap that word. He said, this comes from another kingdom. What you've been carrying, this is a birth from another kingdom. This is not of your world. It's not of your realm. It's not of you. He just put it up inside you. Come out of the right end of God and had his promise in it. And right now, he's calling us to carry it the final stretch. Well, how long is that going to be? I don't have a clue. Could be tomorrow. Could be 48 hours from now. The time your word's going to come is the time it's going to come. But you and I are called to carry it. So let's look at it. Luke 8:18. Because I'm going to show you what's going to happen if you lose it. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. Now, this is still the parable of the sower. It's talking about the word. Same thing. Take heed how you hear. For whosoever hath, and you can add word of the kingdom, to whosoever has the word of the kingdom abiding in them, to him shall be given. Do you see that? But whosoever hath not my word, what he says, abide in me and my words, what? Abide in you, then you can ask what you will. But he says, whosoever have not my word, look at this, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. Do you know that if you lose what God has given you and you let that depart, it don't depart very easy. But if you let it get squashed, if you let it get suffocated, did you know you lose that? The enemy will come in and rend your life. Because remember when the enemy was cast out, it says that spirit went and took him seven more wicked than himself, and he come back, inspected the house, and if he found it empty, swept and garnished. I like being swept and garnished, but if it's empty and there's no word there and it's been snatched away, he'll come back in and rend the house. Do you see that? He said he'll take away even what you seem to have. Because it's that word in you that's keeping you intact. It's that word in you. Even if you're passing through the wilderness, that word is what's keeping everything in you intact. If you're being stolen from day and night, day and night, day and night, you better check what's going on up in here. Amen? This is where you're going to win. This is what he respects. Deuteronomy. We'll see this wisdom with Moses. We'll see it with Solomon. We've already seen it with the Lord. He said, you keep the word of the kingdom. Deuteronomy chapter 6, abide in me, my words, what? Abide. Say abide. We have a responsibility to abide in him, and we have a responsibility to keep his words. Those are two great responsibilities, and those are things you do get to do when there's nothing left to do. Anybody ever come to the Lord and say, God, I've done everything I know to do. There's nothing left to do. Where are you? I know I'm not the only one that's ever said that. I've done everything I know. You can always go back to keep his word. That's what I have to do after I'm through with the pity party. Through throwing the fit. Listen, it's time to grow up. Your fits are not going to work with the Lord. Your pity party and self-pity, it's not going to work when it's time to grow up. That worked when you were 2 years old in the Lord. He'll put the pacifier in your mouth. But when it comes time to grow up, those pity parties won't work. The just shall live by faith, and without it, it's impossible to please him. Say impossible. He's looking for something. You got to go back and say, all right, there is something I can do. I can abide, and I can keep what you've given me. Those are the times where the rubber meets the road, separates the men from the boys. Amen? There are some key elements to this that you're going to need. When you get on the mountain with God, that's the glorious time. You get up on the mountain and he shows you who you are. He shows you where you're going. He gives you a broad picture of your horizon. You see many, 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 many years into the future, even though you think it's tomorrow, you'll see it way up in there. And he impregnates you. And when those words come in initially, it has his faith coming in with it. How many of you know that? That his faith will come in there and explode, and you think you are ready to go. Tomorrow. I've tried it. I fell on my face several times because the faith came so strong, it was just ready to go. He said, no, we're just planting faith. I just want you to feel the faith. Those words are full because they come from his realm, see. So they're full of faith. They're full of life. But you got to carry them. You're not always going to feel that faith like that because you're going to go back down in the valley where everything grows. It don't grow on the mountain. It grows in the valley. But in the valley, you might forget what he said because in the valley, there's lots of confusion down there. There's a lot of forest down there. A lot of activity sent to steal it. You can't see it the way you saw it on the mountain. That's why you got so excited when he showed you who you are on the mountain. But after a couple of years, 3 months, 6 months, a couple of years, you don't even know who you are anymore. You forgot about it a long time ago. I don't even know if I was hearing from God. I probably made it up. Might have been the pizza. I don't know. Because the enemy will cloud that vision. He'll come in and cloud it. You got to live above it. That's why he said, you got to abide in me. You have to get up above that stuff. In the spirit, if you don't know how to live above it, man, you're going to get hammered. Woman, you're going to get hammered. I wish I'd tell you any difference. But it's not just roses. There's a few thorns there too. Amen. You got to learn to navigate through. One thing's for sure, we have to learn how to keep this. So let's look at Moses' wisdom for a minute. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. He actually repeats this verbatim in chapter 11, in case you didn't hear it the first time in chapter 6. Exactly verbatim, it repeats in chapter 11. Now, this book of Deuteronomy is very important because this is where they were brought up to the Jordan before they went over to the promised land. They were at the Jordan. Moses taught this entire book to them in one day at the Jordan, all 34 chapters he gives them. They were the instructions before they go into the promised land. He said, do the word 41 times. He said, keep the word 35 times. Not you go do something. Keep doing the word. Amen? Now, chapter 6 and chapter 11 tells us how to do this. So does chapter 30. Look at verse 4. Hear, O Israel, this is what you can do while you're waiting. Amen? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. You know, that sounds real good, but to actually do that every day, that's not very easy. I ask you, do you love the Lord? Yeah, but do you really love him with all your heart, all your might, all your soul? It's hard to keep yourself there all the time in front of him. That's the call of kings to do that. That's the call of the hundredfolders that sit in front of God all the time. Because most people can get distracted very easy. They can say they love God, but the fact is tomorrow morning shows up. It don't matter what you say. It don't matter what kind of face we put on when we come to church. What matters is, where are you in God? Where I am, there shall you be also. That's the call of the great ones in God, to be with him where he is. Now watch this, verse 6. In these words, here we go. These words, say these words, that I command thee this day will but be in your heart. See, there's a reception. You received it. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Look at this. Watch this. Talk of them. Talk of them when you sittest in thine house, when you walkest by thy way, when you lie down, when you rise up. Rising, lying down, sitting all the day long. This word is up in your mouth. It has to be here, because that's one of the first things the enemy comes at, to get it out of your mouth. He wants complaint in your mouth instead. He wants negativity in your mouth. He wants moaning and groaning and grumbling in your mouth. He wants an offense in your mouth. He wants a trespass in your mouth. He wants doubt and unbelief in your mouth. He doesn't want that in your mouth. A sure sign that it's living inside you, it's going to come out of you. I'm telling you, what your heart is full of, you will speak. If we don't keep our heart with all diligence, it's not coming out of our mouth. Whatever's coming out of your mouth is what's up inside you. Period. You can't help it. I promise you. If you read a chapter of the Bible 50 times, 60 times, 70 times, read it all day long, next day read it all day long, that thing will start coming out of your mouth. But the bigger key is what has he spoken to you? Because that's what you need to keep in your mouth. You need to keep what he has divinely planted in you. That's easier said than done. How many of you have ever been on the mountain and felt the glory and the praise of God? I mean, you're just full of vision, and then 6 months later, you're not even thinking about what God said. You don't even remember what he said. Talk of them. Talk. Speak. These words shall be in your heart, Romans 10 says, and in your mouth. These words will be in your heart and be in your mouth. These words will be in your heart and they'll be in your mouth. That's how you know it's there. If it hadn't been in your mouth in a while, the enemy might have snatched something from your life. Look at this. Verse 8, bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. You should get something in your hand that reminds you of your promise. When God gave me a particular promise about the Mount Hebron inheritance, my mom, and she gave me this thing, Israel, it was cut out of an olive tree, and the two men carrying the staff and the grapes, it was a statue cut out of an olive tree, and those grapes come off that stick, they're carrying those sticks, and I hold those things when I'm praying, I'll hold that cluster of, it's wooden grapes, but those grapes represent my promise. I'm binding something. Why? I want to keep that promise here, and I want to keep it in an atmosphere all around me. I want it inside and all around me on the outside. I want it in my mouth. I want to keep it there because I know how easily it can get snatched. And so do you. That word will flourish when you keep it next to the Lord, when you're abiding in Him and you're holding those words of promise. But you're going to have to be skilled at it. You can't just go do this a week and said, I tried to keep it for a week and it didn't work. I can assure you, you're going to have to keep it, especially if it's something big. You're going to have to keep it longer than a week. It's a way of life. It's a way that this is who I am, not what I see, but what's up in here. Abraham, look at the stars. Look at the sand at night. Look at the stars during the day. Look at the sand. Those are the things. Those are the sign for you, Abraham. I can just imagine he would grab that sand during the day and bind it on his hand and say, these are my descendants. These are my descendants. Because he had nothing else to cling to. God gave him a promise, but he had to birth out of death. How'd you like to have that promise? To give birth out of death. Sarah's womb was dead. His birthing faculties were dead. And God said, I'm commanding you to give birth just like you are. You got to give birth. There was no choice. All of God's plan was riding on that one descendant because somebody greater was going to come out of his loins. Away on down the line, Christ was going to come out and says, Abraham, you've got to give birth just as my son's going to come from the dead womb of humanity. He's going to come and redeem the dead womb of humanity. You've got a birth out of death because I'm going to give birth to him. When he goes down into hell, I'm going to come get him. And I'm going to raise him from the dead. You got a birth, Abraham. How'd you like that? How'd you like to wear your promise like that? Every day wake up with the same body that's lifeless and an inability to give birth, but you are commanded by God to give the birth. How'd you like that promise? God is not interested in us birthing what we can do. He's interested in birthing what we cannot do. It's got to be above your head. The promise has to be way above you. Because it's not coming by your sufficiency or your might. It's coming out of here. It's coming out of a divine impregnation. And you've got to bind it to your life. You've got to keep it. That's the responsibility. That's what you can do when you're walking through the wilderness. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give him glory. Now, watch this. Verse 9, love this one. Write them. Write them upon the post of thy house and upon your gates. Now, this is huge. You got to write them. Why do you got to write them? The best time to write them is when he gives it to you on the mountain. It's very clear. The atmosphere is clear. Your spirit's clear. You can see the greatest. You can see fully. Amen. But even though you have it written and he's already showed it to you, write it. Why? You have to get out here what he has spoken in here. I have a whole series that teaches you how to do that. Spiritual Constitution on the website. You take what he said. You take the scriptures and you put them down. Old Testament, New Testament. This is one. I have like four or five of these. I call them constitutions. You call them a vision statement. It's a constitution for our life. Because when you're walking through the valley of the shadow, because when you're called to give birth out of death, when you have nothing you can cling to, you can't do it. There ain't nobody around you can do it either. When everybody around you's failed, you failed. There's nothing but God that can produce your promise. What are you going to cling to? You got to cling to what he said. You take those words and you hold them and bind them, write them, put them upon your doorpost, put them upon your gate. Go out twice you see him. Come in twice you see him. You're keeping that thing around you because you don't know how easy it is for it to be stolen. You know how many people that have been divinely impregnated with promise? They don't even know who they are. They hadn't even rehearsed that promise in years. They've been so discouraged that they don't know all that discouragement came to steal that promise. All the stuff you've been through was coming after that promise. If you're going through a lot, it's because you're probably carrying a lot. You've been through the fire. This is the part you need to keep. Don't worry about what gets chopped off and burned. There might be whole sides of your personality are going to drop off and be broken. Some of it needs to drop off. There's a lot of stuff in me that needed to drop off. Whack, big old limbs. I said, Lord, that was a big limb. He said, yeah, it needed to go. I was causing a lot of trouble. And then he whacked off another. I said, Lord, we're down to a stump. I don't even have a twig coming out of my stump. I used to have big trees coming out. He said, yeah, it was a lot of that was you. Don't need you in this equation. If you're down to a stump, you're in a good place. It's you, the stump, and the word. Man, you are in perfect position for birthing. Because all your other stuff will get in the way anyway. Sometime he's going to cut things down. That's the gospel nobody wants to hear about, but he's going to. That's part of keeping it. When you're walking through that, and something gets lopped off your life in a season, like, that was my identity. Where did you go? You can't go resurrect it, pick it up, because God buries it. It's buried, trust me. You bury it, it'll come back to life. God buries it. I promise you, it cannot come back to life. And you'll sit there and mourn over it. Come back! Come back! Just like Abraham, he had that capacity for Ishmael. You do too. Abraham had two sons, so do you. You got two sons up in you. You got a son of promise and a son of the flesh. You can produce the flesh or you can produce the promise. The flesh, that son's going to die, he's going to get buried. God's going to bury him. If you're a son of promise and that's all that you're going to do is birth the promise, then that one's going to get buried. And you're going to have to keep going until it's all but God and this word that you carry and you bind for a sign upon your hand. You keep it. Say, keep it. Keep it. Say, keep it. Don't you like that? Praise the Lord. Write them. Twice going out, twice coming in. You seeing it, you surround your life with it. Amen. And it shall be when the Lord thy God has brought you into the land which he swore to the fathers. See, he's going to bring you in. You do this, he's going to bring you in. He will not deny his word. He put that promise in you for fulfillment. A lot of people go to heaven with an unfulfilled promise because they don't interact properly with it or it gets stolen along the way. Your future is in your promise. Your future is in that word that's up inside you. That's the part you need to protect. Amen. I like this. And he brings you into a land, verse 10, that he swore unto his fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you great and goodly cities which you didn't build. You see how that works? Now, this is the effortless phase of God where you're moving in to the inheritance. Cities and homes and buildings that you didn't build. How'd you like to inherit something? I mean, you work for it all your life and you stand there and say, look at the blessing of God, and you sweated over it for 50 years. I mean, God probably worked with you and helped you out a little bit. But inheritance is different. That's a blessing. Inheritance is he gives it to you. You didn't build it. It's an inheritance. Look at the houses full of good things which you didn't fill. Boy, I like that. Wells digged, but you didn't dig them. You just get to drink from them. Oh, yeah, you like that, drinking freely of a well you didn't even have to dig. Whew. Vineyards and olive trees you didn't plant. That's businesses. Stuff come track you down. You didn't plant it, but it sure come to you. Why? Because you are inheritor of the earth. This is what we want. We want to move from the blessing to the inheritance of God. Sometimes you get too much the blessing, you miss the inheritance. The blessing is a mixture. Inheritance is all from God. Go to Proverbs chapter 4. I got to show this to you. Proverbs 4 verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Give attendance to my words. That means you're going to have to show up where they are. You're going to have to give attention and attendance to my words. Incline thine ear to my sayings. You can put your ear in the world and the enemy will fill it with what he wants you to hear. You're going to have to incline your ear, the hearing ear, to what God has said. You have to bow your attention and bow your hearing. You see that? Watch this. Let not them depart. Look at this. From thine eyes. Look at that. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them. Keep them. Bind them. You better get a vision statement. You better get a constitution for your life. Otherwise, what God has said will escape right off your life. You'll be wishing and wondering. It's amazing how you can go from faith one day to wishing and wondering the next day. Well, someday he'll show up and do it. I have faith someday he's going to do it. And then you'll go into dates. Well, on a specific date, he's going to show up. Because this is a prophetic date, and because it's a prophetic date, he's going to do it in this date. How many prophetic dates have you put your faith in and never happened? Well, because there's 12, 12, 12. I know everything was apostolic on 12, 12, 12. So it's all going to birth on 12, 12, 12 and put a 2012 for a double portion. And 12, 12, 12 went right by you and nothing happened. It's going to happen during the Feast of the Tabernacle. It's going to happen on Resurrection Day. It's going to happen on Good Friday. Well, don't worry if it didn't happen this Good Friday. It'll happen the next Good Friday. You got 50 or 60 of them in your life. 80 if you live well. 120 if you live real well. If you want to put your faith in dates and times and seasons, put your faith in what he's already sown inside you. Keep it. Keep it in your frontlets of your eyes. You think that's easy. Trust me. It'll take everything you've got to do it God's way. And that's the way of faith. We'd much rather just pick it up by our hands and go do something. Amen? Just give me something I can do. And, you know, I'll just go build something for you, God. You know, but he's not looking for that. He wants the birth from another realm that you got to carry. There's been times you have to open these things up and look at them when you don't want to look at them. When every devil of darkness screaming at you, you got to open it back up and say, no, no, no. This is what he said. God, right here, you've done it in the old. You've done it in the new. I have 9 of these online. You can just download them. They won't mean anything to you if you don't interact with them. You said in the old, new, and this is recorded what you said to me. I hold fast. You have to learn to do this right here. Right here is your future, my friend. In God, this is your future. If you let it escape, guess what? A little discouragement comes in. A little offense comes in. No trespass comes in. A little persecution comes in. Distraction from the world come in. This stuff will just escape. You might not rehearse it again for another year. That's how easy it is. Solomon knew this. He said, keep it. Keep it. I'm going to close with this. Listen to, keep it. In the midst of thy heart, for their life, unto those that find them, and the health of their flesh, keep thy heart with all diligence for what's going on here, flowing the issues of life. The wellsprings of your future is going to flow from what's going on in here. you're going to be good at something, be good right here. God gives you a garden that's just like this. Keep all this right here. This is your life right here. I know you can amen all that, but it'll be the hardest thing you ever do after 3 months and you're tired. I kept it for 3 months and nothing happened. After a year goes by, another year goes by. But what's going on inside you, what the enemy doesn't want you to know, is what's up inside you can change whole generations. Once at birth, it can change whole cities. It can multiply 1,000 times more than you could have ever been in your lifetime. That seed, when it releases into the earth, it will never stop multiplying because it came out of a kingdom of multiplication. And that promise, when it starts multiplying, you can't stop it, the devil can't stop it, and nobody around the devil can stop it. He knows that. That's why he comes at it now. He comes hard at it to steal it before it hits multiplication stage because he can't stop it. Once the kingdom births into this realm, it moves at the speed of light. You're going to see that if you stick around here. I promise you, we're not going to quit until we get it. Amen. I'll give you one more, Proverbs 6:21. Bind them continually upon thy heart. Tie them about thy neck. Look at that. You see that? Solomon had wisdom. In all his wisdom, he lost it. The man that wrote that book lost it. Deceitfulness of riches and lust of other things drowned the operation of the word in his life. He lost the whole kingdom. But he had the birth. Proverbs 7:1, my son, keep, look at this, keep my words. This is Solomon's wisdom before his fall, the wisest man on the planet. For many, many, many generations of all of history, he's one of the greatest men of wisdom. Look what he says. Keep my words. Lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live. My law, look at this, my word is the apple of thine eye. You see that? As the apple of thine eye, bind them upon thy fingers, write them on the tables of your heart. When you write them, don't let them go. That's going to be your trial. If you want to birth God's way, that's what you're going to have to do. Habakkuk says, write the vision, make it plain upon tables, that they may run that read it. Wait for it. Though it tarry, it shall speak. You know, you'll speak, you'll carry, you'll hold, you'll bind to your heart. There's a day that the vision will come and speak for it. It'll speak then. When that day comes, there's no more you having to do it. It will do it. The word then will speak and it'll release out into the nation. When the day of birth comes, I promise you it'll multiply so far beyond any one of us. 100, 1,000 times greater than we could have ever done in our lifetime. Because what's up inside us belongs to another kingdom. But there's a price. And that price is to carry. That price is to bind it. That price is to hold it. It'll get heavy. I promise you it will. There are times I just have to set it down. Am I talking to somebody in here? There are times I said, God, I just can't do it right now. There are times I avoid because all this stuff's up in my prayer calls. I don't even go out there because I know I got to go back and do all that. And there's times it's glorious. There's times I'm back on the mountain. I'm in there with the Father and I got his word. And I said, man, we going to do this. And it's just glorious. It's beautiful. It's amazing. It's like it's going to happen. You go through those times. Pick it up if you've set it down. Pick it up. Stir it up again. Write it down. Pick it back up and say, this is my future, not what you're telling me, devil. That's right here. It's my future. It's what God has said. It's what's going to happen. There's a lot of DNA up in this little church with a taco stand in front of it. A lot of people come up in here and don't know what's all up in the blueprint of this place. Most of us that live in a house have no idea even what the blueprint looked like, but that house that you live in wouldn't be there without a blueprint. You don't have to go read all the blueprint to live in the house. But I'm just telling you, there are some serious spiritual blueprints up in here. People have wrote those blueprints, and they're in the foundation of this place. We're believing for some big stuff. Amen. Let's give the Lord praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Everyone look at your neighbor and say, pick it up.